Uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
Hello, cyber listeners. This is Motherboard Editor-in-Chief Jason Kepler, and I'm here today with Jordan Pearson, our senior editor in Canada.
Hello, hello.
Jordan, hello. We have some very, very exciting news. Would you like to share the exciting news?
I'd love to. Well, the exciting news is that we have finally released into the world an 8-episode documentary series called CryptoLand that is about, you know, basically every aspect of the cryptocurrency industry as it exists today and how it's affecting our world. And yeah, it's really exciting. It was a huge effort from, you know, most of the people on our staff and in Vice News tonight. And I think we covered a lot of really interesting stuff. I'm sure we're going to get into it in this podcast. But I mean, everyone's like beats and interests kind of went into this. And I think it's a really cool result.
Yeah. If you, the listener, take anything away from this podcast, this episode of this podcast, it is stop listening to the podcast and go watch CryptoLand. It's on.
Yeah, stop right now.
Right now. It's on Motherboard's YouTube, which is youtube.com/motherboard. Very easy to find. The first episode is up right now, and I think we are going to talk a lot about it, but I wanted to play the audio from a trailer. Obviously, you're not going to be able to see the trailer, but I think you'll get a flavor for what it is from this.
This is just for the people that haven't stopped already.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you're still here.
It's built for us. Like, it makes sense. It's low fees. It's no chargebacks. It's anonymous. Like, it's hello.
I need you to squirt this on my app.
Okay.
Okay, this is this dumb digital currency for buying drugs online. Now it's a dumb digital currency and you can buy really expensive art to put on your TV.
It was not about, you know, becoming a millionaire or billionaire. The great experiment we're attempting is the separation of money and state.
What do you think Abe Lincoln would have thought of Bitcoin?
He would have loved it.
Oh my God. Woo! So this is like $1 million here. That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's $8 million worth of ASICs. Holy shit.
Ransomware has really changed now to these at scale attacks. This can impact whether I can potentially buy food for my family, whether I can get fuel for my car, whether I can actually get to work. This is real.
I'm sorry, did you say monkey jizz?
Yeah.
I took like 40 minutes on YouTube, half a blunt in, and I made my own code, which I guess people liked it enough to just buy it for no reason. And I'm just like,
when you first heard the word like cryptocurrency, what did you think of it?
Money coming back from the dead.
I think cryptocurrency is a net plus for the environment, and in fact, a big net plus for the environment.
We're taking natural gas and converting it into Bitcoin.
Gas is unable to be sold to a pipeline. That's a win-win for everybody.
If you lose your password to your crypto assets, we're the guys you call.
The only hope now is to recall it somehow. So a sensory deprivation tank, a massive amount of mushrooms, I don't know.
This is secure. I know where it is. I will always know where it is. It's like it's in the back of my hand.
This is essentially a crypto anarcho-capitalist nation come perhaps true.
Yeah, we are cryptocurrency only coffee. We don't accept currency that is imposed by the state.
Although you're kind of forcing me to use it right now to get a coffee, aren't you?
Well,
I think you have to be a little bit crazy to be a citizen of Liberland.
We are all crazy, I think.
It must be hard building a nation that you need a speedboat to access. Hey, we got the police, police, police.
That's crazy.
Well, there you have it. I'm going to give everyone a second opportunity to stop listening to this podcast right now and go watch CryptoLand.
Last chance.
YouTube.com/motherboard. If you are going to stay here, like if you're driving or something, You know, you can pull over to the side of the road and pull it up on your phone. But if you're still going to listen to the podcast, we're going to talk about why we made this, how we made this, what we were hoping to do, stuff like that. I think that, as Jordan said, basically everyone on Motherboard touched the show in some way, shape, or form. It's like we covered hacking, we covered sex work, we covered the environmental aspects of it, we covered the geopolitical aspects of it and the sort of physical infrastructure associated with it. We talked about the politics. We shot all over the world. So off the top of my head, we shot in West Texas, upstate New York, Miami, Puerto Rico, Kazakhstan. We shot in Liberland, which is this disputed territory in Croatia and Serbia, between Croatia and Serbia. We shot in Vermont. We shot in DC. Anywhere else, Jordan, off the top of your head?
I think that about covers it, honestly.
Yeah.
And I mean, think, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And I think the goal here was basically like to show that so much of cryptocurrency and, you know, just so we think so much about cryptocurrency happening on the internet. And obviously a lot of it happens on the internet, but there's also like this very physical aspect to it. It's like when you think about Bitcoin mines, there are these gigantic structures. In some cases, like the larger mines are like huge structures and warehouses that require a lot of physical infrastructure. And there's like a lot of shots in this documentary series of like backhoes building stuff. And I think that, you know, crypto and blockchain may or may not be the future of many different things, but right now it is the present. Like there are a lot of things happening with cryptocurrency that can be seen in the real world if you go look for it. So there have been other good documentaries on Bitcoin and on cryptocurrency, but I don't think that there has been one that has shot in so many places and shown so many different things and sort of shown how it's impacting our culture and power structures and the economy and all sorts of things like this. Would you agree with that, Jordan?
Totally. I think what I really like about this series, and I think just also speaks to like the amount of like viewpoints that we were able to bring into it, just from like the amount of people that were involved. But it feels really like current. Like it's really kind of like a picture of what's happening right now. And like, I think that's really exciting because like, you know, a lot of like, there is discussion of like, you know, what all of this means, what the ideology behind it is, you know, what the history of it is. But I think it's really exciting to put something out into the world that just kind of like indelibly stamps, you know, for posterity, like what's happening right now, like from like, miners that were like, left China because of the ban, and now they're in the States, and now we're like figuring out what we're going to do on a regulatory scale, to like you know, the ransomware epidemic, to how sex workers are using this technology because the banking system is really fucked up, to like, you know, shitcoin millionaires, all of this, like, and the environmental concerns too. Like a lot of this stuff I think we encounter on like Twitter or the internet, but it's really interesting, and I mean, I think it's important to like see it actually happen. Like, you know, there's a lot of debate about like the energy it uses, how it supports fossil fuels maybe, and it's one thing to kind of like have that academic argument, it's another to like actually see like two 20 somethings who are just like, yeah, there's money to be made, we're here taking like fossil fuels, like waste gas, and turning it directly into bitcoins in this like shipping container here in West Texas. And that's like a really interesting thing. And I hope people kind of get a pulse of like what's happening on the ground right this minute. Even though we shot this like last year over the last few months or whatever, I think that's kind of like the exciting thing about it.
Yeah, I think we were both getting a bit antsy because we made this, I would say, like September, October, November. And we were in edit in December and finished up like the field documentary pieces right before the new year. And then we wanted to make sure that we could launch it, you know, give it the promotion that it deserves. And there's just kind of like a lot that goes into publishing a show. And even in those 3 months, like I was really worried because the space moves so fast that some of this stuff would become outdated, but it didn't. Thank right. God.
Like, or that it might like crash and no one will care about it. Like that happened like 2017. I feel like we were like writing a lot about crypto. We were in it, and then all of a sudden crash and like nobody cared really in like a mainstream sense, although like the industry carried on. But like obviously crypto has kind of been in like a bear market slash crash for months now. But I mean, interestingly, like these, like it's still here. We're still talking about it. If anything, these issues have only gotten like more pronounced.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. Because there was a crash and I was like, oh shit, like, is all of this going to go away and are people not going to care? But we haven't seen that, you know, based on our reporting and our writing and, you know, the number of people that read our stories about crypto. It's like people still very much are into it. And there's obviously so much still happening. And, you know, with the kind of rising gas prices and inflation and the crisis in Ukraine, we've seen the market bounce back, the cryptocurrency market bounce back a little bit. And not that it fell like that far, but during the crash, like we didn't see disinterest from the mainstream in the way that we have in the past. And I think that does suggest that like crypto is here to stay. At least enough people are trying to make a go of it that it's not going to like stop being a topic of conversation anytime soon.
Yeah. And I think all of these episodes are like each one of them is a thread of like different sort of storylines that I think we're really just going to see like continue and evolve and like become more like entrenched. Like, you know, the issue of like the banking industry being fucked up and like discriminatory to like sex workers and other marginalized people. Like, I mean, I'd love to say that's going to be fixed, but it's just not. So like, you know, these episodes really kind of give you like a good understanding of like where these things are now. And like, I'm confident that like if you watch it and you kind of like have a good sense of what's happening, that's only going to serve you better in like the near future, probably, as these issues like continue, because they're going to.
Right. So let's talk about how the episodes are formatted. Basically, we went into this thinking that we would do an in-the-field documentary piece and then throw back to a studio discussion where we can kind of expand on the thing that we just saw. And I mean, that's what we did. That's the format of the show. It's like every episode is 12 to 15 minutes. That gives you kind of like a microcosm into a specific person or a specific Bitcoin mine or a specific topic or theme in the cryptocurrency world. But it's like, if we were to try to do a documentary about Bitcoin energy usage, like you could make a feature length documentary on that. You could make something that's 2 hours long and still not tell the entire story. And so in this case, for the environmental episode, we shot, as Jordan was saying, at this, kind of startup mom and pop, although it's just two dudes in West Texas who are using fracking runoff to mine Bitcoin. And then we shot at a bigger Bitcoin mine in West Texas that is basically pulling energy from the grid. So a mix of fossil fuel, natural gas, and renewables, and just kind of comparing the general scope and scale of these operations and then talking about a little bit about, you know, what are the broader environmental impacts here. But it's like any way that you can make power, you can mine Bitcoin. And so I think in order to do an entirely in the field piece about the environment, it's like we'd have to go, you know, shoot at renewable power Bitcoin mines. And we'd probably have to shoot at like water dams that are mining Bitcoin and go all over the place. And it's just like, in terms of that being a digestible thing for people, it'd be really difficult. So we shot at these two power plants / Bitcoin mines in West Texas. And then we have a studio discussion where we talk to Alex DeVries. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Audrey Carlton, who's on our team. And it's hosted by Krishna Andavolu, who is the host of Vice News Tonight and is an excellent host. And we sort of talk about the broader systemic issue of cryptocurrency mining and proof of work versus proof of stake, which is explained in the episode. And I think we've talked about a little bit on other episodes of Cyber, and just basically like, here's the environmental beef, and here's like the situation. And it, in that sense, it's like, it goes from being a documentary series to kind of being like a video podcast. And we will at some point be releasing the longer studio segments, because each discussion went on for about an hour. Although the full episodes that we're publishing now are an edited down version of those conversations. So it's like 22 to 30 minute episodes, including the field piece. And I think it worked out really well. I was, just to be totally honest, a little peek behind the curtain here of, you know, big biz, video film hot shots here. I was a little skeptical that the studio aspect of it would work, because it's like, it's just hard to pull off in a way that is engaging, but I think the conversations are really good. And I think that they added a lot to the field pieces.
Yeah. I mean, that was like a continuing theme throughout this whole thing, is that like, there's just so much here. Like there's so much, like we can make like a documentary, and then like, there's still like a million issues.
All good.
I think that was my phone.
Yeah.
but there's so many issues that spin off of like any one particular thing that you can point to in crypto. And it's like, these conversations were an hour, but like they could have been like another hour, you know? So, I mean, I hope we did a good job kind of like trying to capture as much of it as we can. And like, you know, a good example of it, I think, is the like wallet episode. So we shot this episode, that's about like a father son duo that goes around helping people who have like basically lost their password for their Bitcoin wallet, or like don't remember it. So they have like a lot of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, potentially millions, like just locked up and they can't access it. So this is kind of like, you know, it's an interesting human story. It's like, it's entertaining as well. It has like a full arc. And it's really just this kind of like specific thing. But then in the panel discussion, we talked to Pavel from Trezor, which is a hardware wallet company. And we kind of got into how all of this fits into the whole idea of being your own bank and self-sovereignty and, you know, the ideology behind that, you know, why you might want it if you're like a dissident, let's say, in a country with like some kind of authoritarian regime, or you're a marginalized person, and also how it presents like these like very sort of practical usability issues. So like, I think that's a good example that like we kind of try to replicate across the series, where there's like a really specific thing in the documentary, and then the conversation really kind of digs even deeper and broadens that out and talks about like the issues behind the issue, if that sort of makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good example that you brought up, because it's like, we filmed this, you know, in October, November, this specific episode, and we talked about these issues. And then basically immediately we had the Freedom Convoy truckers in Ottawa who were raising money using Bitcoin or raising cryptocurrency. And then a lot of them had the access to their wallets cut off by the Canadian government, or rather the Canadian government asked the exchanges to cut off access to people who were using exchanges to store their Bitcoin. And I believe that the exchanges had to comply. They did comply, right?
Yeah, they did comply.
Yeah, and so that raises the question of just like, okay, you know, you have these people cut off from the traditional banking system. Like they can't really get a bunch of, they can't get like Canadian dollar donations, although maybe they were doing that. So I may be speaking out of turn here, but in any case, it's like they were getting Bitcoin donations, and then they were the ones who did not have paper wallets or hardware wallets or wallets that were not connected to exchanges were essentially unable to use it. And then you have the same issue happening in Ukraine and Russia, where you have some Russian customers of these big Bitcoin exchanges, crypto exchanges, not being able to access their funds because, you know, maybe they're on a sanctions list, or maybe they are, you know, like that's just been, we've written a lot about that, but it's like, it's a, it immediately became relevant. It's like the way that the exchanges are handling the Russia situation is very nuanced and very interesting. And we've written a lot about it. And it's obviously not talked about in this specific episode because it just happened, but the themes that we talked about in the episode apply to current events. And I think that goes like across the entire series. It's like we talked about the bigger themes, and then it's like you can see them playing out in the real world in real time, which is very interesting to see.
Yeah, totally.
I want to take a quick break here for ads. We will be right back.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Okay, we are back. Jordan, I wanted to talk about the first episode, the one that is up right now. And I want to tell you a story that I'm sure you probably already know, but I'm going to tell you on the podcast. Do you know about the Bitcoin tapes, or did, before we started doing this, did you know about the lost Bitcoin tapes?
I knew they existed. I know they've been kind of like this, like, not urban legend because we know they're real, but like they've often been talked about as like, oh yeah, we filmed in like 2013, we've never done anything with it. And they're just, I always kind of imagined it as sort of like a Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse situation.
It's about as exciting as a story can possibly be that involves like looking for a hard drive on a Vice server somewhere, looking for some footage on a Vice server somewhere. So anyways, way back in 2013, which I started working at Motherboard in 2012 as a freelancer and then full-time in 2013. And Jordan, you were 2013 as well, right? Or was it 2014?
I started freelancing in 2014, yeah.
Yeah. So soon, like right before I started at Motherboard as a staff writer, a handful of Motherboard employees went to Bitcoin 2013, which was one of the very first Bitcoin conferences. It was in San Jose, California, and it was basically like this big coming out party for Bitcoin. It was thrown by this guy named Charlie Schrem, who ran a Bitcoin company, was kind of hot shit in the day. And he had a bunch of very important people there, like the Winklevoss twins were there. Vitalik Buterin, who is the founder of Ethereum, was there, although he wasn't a big deal then, as far as I know. Like Ethereum did not exist then. And so we shot there, just to basically be like, wow, a lot of people are talking about Bitcoin. It's a big thing. Like, here's the first big conference. Let's make a documentary about it. And then the people who produced the documentary and hosted the documentary came back to Brooklyn, and then we never made the documentary. And the reason that we never made the documentary is like, there's various reasons, but the main reason is that the people who worked on it left Vice like before it could get done. And so this footage existed, but it was never turned into anything. And then we started doing other projects, and I don't know, like we got busy. And so we just never did anything with it. And over the years, whenever there was like a big Bitcoin story, people at Motherboard would be like, you know, we should really do something with that Bitcoin footage. And so I went back into my email. I used to send lots of emails about this because I was like, we should definitely do something with this. And then when I became Motherboard editor in chief, it's like, well, now I have like the power to do something with this footage because, you know, I'm the boss. And so I sent various emails to people who worked on it being like, do you know where this footage is? And I sent emails to like our archival team saying like, hey, can you like pull this footage? Like, what's the deal with it? And time after time, they're like, yeah, we kind of remember that. And there's like existence of it in our system, in our library system for footage, but we don't like know how to get it or where it is. And so I don't know, after like four or five different email threads over the years, we still did nothing with it. And then we started this project like back in, you know, August, September. And it's like, if we're going to do a documentary series about cryptocurrency, like now is the time. We need to find this footage. And so, you know, I guess I didn't do anything differently this time when I was looking for the footage. I just like was a little more persistent about it. And there was someone on our archival team who was able to track it down and upload it into our server and make it accessible. And like finally seeing this footage that I had heard so much about, but had never had the chance to actually look at was incredible. And Jordan, I mean, you watched most of it, but basically this is the first episode. It's the one that's up now that you can go check out on YouTube. We caught back up with Charlie Schrem, who is the guy who threw this conference. We used footage from that conference, and we also caught back up with Alec Liu, who was the host of the original documentary that never aired. So he was a motherboard writer who was really good. Like he did all of our earliest Bitcoin coverage and earliest cryptocurrency coverage back in like 2011, 2012, 2013. And then he went to this conference and he was so excited by what he saw at this conference that he quit motherboard and like went into the cryptocurrency industry. And he still works in the cryptocurrency industry. He's no longer a journalist. Charlie Schrem has also had a really interesting life. Like pretty soon after this conference, he was arrested and went to jail for, I believe, like a year, maybe a little bit longer than a year, because his company was like tangentially involved with the Silk Road drug market. And it's just like, it's really, really interesting to look at the footage then and then catch it back up with these guys now and just see like how things have changed, because that original conference was like pretty quaint, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's funny. Oh, for sure. Like, when I was kind of like scanning through that footage, when you uncovered it and we were just like starting to make this show, like, I mean, on one hand, it's like wild, because it's like, oh, holy shit, that's Vitalik, just like with his back turned, no one talking to him, like not a big deal. There's like Mike Hearn, like, holy shit, like he, you know, was one of the earliest Bitcoin developers and then like declared the whole thing a failure in like 2016. And like, you know, lots of those types of moments, but like the setting itself is like about as like drab and depressing as you can like imagine, really. And like, you know, we had this
like lame conference center in San Jose with like essentially no decorations whatsoever.
And like hosted by Dan Ninan, I hope I'm saying his name right, just making like some of the worst jokes I've probably ever heard in my life. So it was like quite a scene, and like comparing that to like, you know, the most recent Bitcoin conferences in like Miami, which are just like, you know, massive productions with like, you know, set pieces and like huge celebrity like guests coming in. Like it's really wild to kind of just like take stock of like just how much like things have changed and like just how big the industry's gotten.
Lambos everywhere.
Yeah, rented Lambos probably, but yeah. Lambos nonetheless.
Exactly. Maybe there were some Lambos at the first one, but anyone who had a Lambo did not have it from their Bitcoin wealth.
Yeah.
At the time, Bitcoin was worth like $114, and 2013 is the year that Bitcoin blew up, like price-wise. I think it went over $1,000 for the first time in 2013, and then obviously like went up and down over the years, but like that was the first time where there was this like massive increase in the price of Bitcoin, from like, you know, attainable to the average person. Like the average person could buy like one Bitcoin, to, you know, we're talking over $1,000 a share, if you will, per coin. And yeah, I was glad that we were able to go and get that footage. And it's like, I think that there's still more there, like sometime, like to do a deeper dive and maybe do something even more with the footage sometime in the future. But I'm really happy with how this turned out. And yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention, and Jordan said it earlier, but it's like, this was a true collaboration with, Vice, our colleagues at Vice News. It's like, you get sort of the documentary storytelling that Motherboard has done really well over the years, but hasn't been able to do in a couple of years because we focused more on podcasting and, I mean, to a much greater extent, reporting and writing. But it feels like the first big Motherboard documentary project in a few, like 4 or 5 years. So we're really stoked. That's, I think you can probably hear it in our voices, but it's like, please, please, please watch it. Tell your friends. I'm here begging you. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, the best thing that you can do is just like share the YouTube link, like watch it, comment, upvote, like, and subscribe. It's like, it's something that
knock on your friends' doors.
Yeah. You know, have screening parties at the largest TV / venue you own. If like any owners of sports arenas are here or movie theaters, it's like, you know,
hey, play FTXcrypto.com.
Yeah.
You know what to do.
Yeah. We should rent out probably like a skywriting company, you know, to spell out the URL in cities around the world. But I don't know. That's our plea. I think we're definitely going to do more on Cyber about Cryptoland. It will be less us hyping the show and more us talking about the specific aspects of what the episodes are and stuff like that. It's like, obviously we're going to continue our normal Cyber episodes, but you know, there's an episode about ransomware, so we'll have Joseph on to talk about that. There's this Lost Wallet episode, which is basically all about hacking, because the way that this father-son duo gets into the wallets is they brute force the passwords, which is really hard to do because Bitcoin passwords in general are very long. But they basically use like a mix of whatever the person can remember about what their password may have been to then create like a list it's for brute forcing purposes and then go from there. And it's like, they're pretty successful at it. So that's like really interesting hacking angle. And then, obviously there's like, you know, sort of the crypto sovereignty things that I know are very, cyber adjacent. But yeah, check out the series, please. Anything else, Jordan?
No, I mean, I just hope people enjoy it. You know, I think it's really exciting. I think like, you know, I've been writing about crypto at Motherboard for a long time by now. And, you know, for some time, it was kind of like I was sort of like the only one who was really like following it really closely. And it's been really amazing to, you know, just bring everyone in and let everyone's perspectives, you know, sort of their unique perspective from their beats and their beliefs and their lives, like really kind of shine on this topic. I think that's really valuable and really cool, and I hope people enjoy it.
Cool. Well, thank you, Jordan, for all your work on it. I guess I didn't specifically say, but it's like Jordan was an executive producer on the show and, you know, guiding light for like what the episodes would be and the tone of the episodes and how they were made and how they were edited and what they said, and sort of like helped, you know, really guided like what are these episodes going to be about and where are we going to shoot and that sort of thing. And I did some of the same. You can find it, as I said, at youtube.com/motherboard. Please go check it out. Until then, you know, have a good weekend. We'll see you soon. Farewell, Jordan. Thank you for joining.
Bye.
Oh, I didn't fade that right. Sorry to everyone for that blast of sound.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.